This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 507, up 5¾. July corn, 512¾, up 5½. September corn, 509¼, up 4¼. May soybeans, 1498, up 26. July soybeans, 1494¼, up 24¼. August soybeans, 1428¼, up 18¾. May wheat, 7¼, up 11¼. July wheat, 708¼, up 11¾. September wheat, 716½, up 11. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
I'm Bob Breese, and this is Friday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Friday afternoon. Even though technical trading pushed soybeans higher today, for the week they are still lower. Corn was pulled higher by the surge in soybeans and the forecast of moisture slowing planting down. Wheat advanced on the drought area of the plains expanding. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents higher at 477 to 506, soybean bids for 26 to 36 cents higher at 1468 to 1493. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 6 cents higher at 474 to 503. Soybeans were 26 to 27 cents higher at 1490 to 1503. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 6 cents higher at 491 to 525, and soybean bids were 16 to 30 higher at 1484 to 1510. Wheat bids were 7 to 13 cents higher at 680 to 708. Now, the Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 26 to 28 cents higher at 1508 to 1538. The basis was steady to 2 higher at 10 to 40 over the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was 505.60 to 530.60 per ton, and that was $2.40 higher, with the basis steady at 15 to 40 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 6 cents higher at 505 to 519, with the basis steady at 2 under to 12 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 511 to 516, with the basis steady to 1 lower at 4 to 9 over the May. Soybeans ended 26 to 31 cents higher at 1493 to 1504, with the basis steady to 5 higher at 5 under to 6 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 10 to 11 cents higher at 681 to 683, and the basis 1 to 2 lower at 25 to 27 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 536 to 539. These elevators raised their soybean prices 26 to 28 cents, with quotations of 1521 to 1529. Soft wheat closed 11 to 12 cents higher at 732 to 737, and Milo ended the day 5 cents higher at 526 to 527. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 466 to 476, and soybeans 1198 to 1222. In the central part of the state, corn was 466 to 484, soybeans 1206 to 1225. And in the southern part of the state, corn was 472 to 486, and soybeans 1207 to 1237, and soft wheat was 668 to 694. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 145, up 75 cents. June live cattle, 136.77, up 92 cents. August live cattle, 135.60, up 70 cents. May feeder cattle, 180, up 40 cents. August feeder cattle, 184.62, up 57 cents. September feeder cattle, 185.12, up $1.10. May lean hogs, 120.92, down $1.97. June lean hogs, 124.52, down $1.02. July lean hogs, 122.67, down $1.27. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 25th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 26 cents lower, in the range of 107 to 110, with the weighted average carcass price of 109.16. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading $2 higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 82 to 90, 4 to 5 weights 85 to 94, 5 to 6 weights 87 to 96, and 6 and up were 90 to 98. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts are country buying points for trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from 79 cents to 83. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,287 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction, held Thursday, April 24th. They had receipts of 295 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 48.25 to 153.50. Select and choice were 136 to 145, and select steers at 136. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 136 to 139.50, and select and choice Holstein steers were 133. Choice heifers were 146 to 150.75, and select and choice were 142.50 to 145. On to the slaughter cows. They had some premiums, bring 114. Boners were 97 to 105, with the high dressing at 106 to 107.50. And leans were 71 to 76, with high dressing at 88 to 95. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds were 105, and 1,500 pounds and up were 105 to 112, with some high dressing bringing 115. Now on to the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 660 head. And starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, three weights were 232 to 250, four weights 219 to 231, and five weights at 196 to 220. Feeder Holstein steers, four weights were 156 to 168, and five weights were 144 to 145. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, four weights were 200 to 206, and five weights were 183 to 198. Now from the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 145 to 149.50, and on a dress basis at 235 to 236. Heifers on a live basis traded at 145 to 147, and on a dress basis at 231.50 to 236. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 217 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 116.13, and that was 57 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were 232.83, and that was 97 cents lower. And select carcasses were 221.64, and that was 43 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, That compared to 100,000 last week and 115,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 416,000, which compared to 380,000 last week and 411,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April and May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.12. April and May corn delivered to Scottville, $5.03. April and May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.97. April and May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.86. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.01. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.12. Corn at Scottville is $5.03. Beans at Greenfield are $14.97. Beans at Scottville are $14.86. And wheat at Scottville is $7.01. The Food and Drug Administration announced on Friday it will not take actions in its animal feed rule to discourage the use of spent grains. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Foods and Veterinary Medicine Michael Taylor said the FDA will work to clarify the rule. Feedback during the comment period indicated the proposal might disrupt or eliminate the practice of using spent grains as animal feed. The requirements for animal feed proposed would have been similar to human food requirements, which, Taylor said, would have imposed cost without adding value for food or feed safety. He called that something that does not make sense and stated, "We are not going to do it." Ever wonder if there is a nutritional difference in the meat from grass-fed cattle versus grain-fed cattle? Well, Texas A&M University Department of Animal Science researchers have published two research studies comparing the effects of ground beef from grass-fed cattle versus grain-fed cattle on risk factors for cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes in men. 40% of Americans' total beef intake is ground beef, which is one of the most important sources of oleic acid. Ground beef from grass-fed cattle contains 3 times as much omega-3 fatty acids than ground beef from grain-fed cattle, but it is higher in saturated and trans fat. Premium ground beef from conventionally produced cattle is high in oleic acid and lower in saturated and trans fat than ground beef from grass-fed cattle. These studies have shown that grass-feeding cattle doesn't increase the amount of oleic acid in beef, as a quarter-pound beef patty from grain-fed cattle has more than 2 grams more oleic acid than that from grass-fed cattle. In these studies, men consumed both types of ground beef for 5 weeks. Older, mildly hypocholesterolemic men saw a decrease in HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, while eating ground beef from grass-fed cattle. Men with normal cholesterol levels saw an increase in HDL cholesterol from ground beef from grain-fed cattle. Neither type of ground beef increased LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. The bottom line is, ground beef from grass-fed cattle and ground beef from grain-fed cattle are pretty much on equal playing fields on terms of nutrition. Farmers will be battling many problems in their fields this season. However, the harsh winter may make it easier to take on the insects that can sometimes destroy a crop. University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray has this for row crop farmers.
Well, when you look at the effect that this severe winter may have had on a number of insect pests that actually do overwinter in the state, one of the insects is the bean leaf beetle. And bean leaf beetles can affect soybeans early in the season when they're emerging from the ground, the seedling stage, all the way through harvest. They do go through some, go through a couple of generations. They overwinter as adults. They overwinter beneath leaf litter, in wooded areas, anywhere where they can get out of the elements. Cold winters like we've had really do take a toll on bean leaf beetles. Usually in the spring, about the time we get some sunny days, temperatures begin to climb over 50, bean leaf beetles will break their dormancy, initially go into some stands of alfalfa, feed on alfalfa, but they really seek out those early emerging bean fields. Bean leaf beetle populations this spring should be very low, so that's good news. Soybean aphids overwinter as eggs on buckthorn, and there's no question about it that survivorship of those eggs on buckthorn this year, this past winter, has probably really been severely affected. So I'm anticipating pretty low soybean aphid populations to start out this year as well. Japanese beetles, there's no question about it. Japanese beetles have caused some concern in recent years, especially in 2013 in some northwestern Illinois counties where we had high densities of Japanese beetles. We know they can be a problem in soybeans as well as corn when they clip silks. Japanese beetles overwinter as grubs. When we have hard, prolonged, deep soil freezes like we've had this year, Japanese beetle survivorship is going to go way down as well. So that's, again, good news. Western corn rootworms, they overwinter as eggs, and we know that those eggs that are laid in the upper soil profile, let's say down to 4 inches, they probably took a hit as well in terms of survivorship. Now, one thing to keep in mind, western corn rootworms can lay their eggs more deeply than 4 inches, and in fact, we know in some cases we can find eggs down a foot or more in the soil. So those are probably going to come through in pretty good shape, especially where we've had heavy snows providing that blanket of insulation out there in fields. But I guess overall, the winter has probably helped us out with regard to reducing some of those insect numbers that we commonly think about each year.
Again, that was Extension entomologist Mike Gray. The Illinois Wheat Association will host the Southern Illinois Wheat Tour on Wednesday, May 28th. The tour will give producers an opportunity to make crop observations and make yield estimates of the 2014 winter wheat crop. The tours will commence at four locations at 9 a.m., Seymour Milling Company, Tutopolis, Minnell Milling Company of Illinois, Mount Olive, Waymer Seed Company, Muscoota, and Wabash Valley Services Company in Carmi. The report back session will begin at Brownstown Agronomy Research Center at 4 p.m. with tours of the research plots. After a catered meal, the report back session will provide wheat yield estimates for the 2014 wheat crop. A detailed flyer is posted on the website and will be mailed to all Illinois Wheat Association members in early May. There will be no charge for the tours or the evening meal, but reservations are required. We all know that farmers everywhere are subject to some pretty tricky weather changes, but as it turns out,
the hardest place to forecast the weather is in the middle of the United States.
That's meteorologist and agricultural economist Mike Tanura. Let's focus on why he says it's so very hard to predict the weather in the middle of the United States, where the majority of the world's corn is grown. It is different than any other primary commodity crop growing region on the planet for some very simple reasons, says Tanura.
Number one, in the central U.S., we have mountains off to the west. So if you think about it, as you're driving toward Denver, many people have done that, and as you get closer to Denver, you can see the Rocky Mountains in the distance. But until you get there, it's completely flat. So if you were to look at a map of the United States, the Rocky Mountains are essentially a big wall.
This wall funnels cold air from the Arctic into the Midwest. It does the same for tropical air from the Gulf of Mexico. Neither air mass can surmount the Rockies to expand and dissipate westward.
And so now you've set up this wall, and you have Arctic air coming south, you have tropical air coming north, and those two tend to interact right in the middle of the United States. The other unique thing about the middle of the United States is that it's flat. You could walk straight north to the Arctic or straight south to Latin America, and you would barely run into too many hills. It's generally just a flat topography. So we don't have a lot of interference with these different air masses when they do come to the north and to the south. So just because of that reason alone, that just sets up an incredibly unique setup that we really don't see in too many other areas of the world. I would argue the only other area that you really might see something like that would be in parts of Japan or possibly even parts of Argentina, but the Argentina climate doesn't fluctuate nearly as much as ours. So you just set yourself up for a very difficult weather forecasting experience in the central United States. Not surprisingly, though, you have a lot of meteorologists like myself that find that fascinating.
It's the north to south alignment of the Rocky Mountains that sets the stage for volatile weather in the Midwest. Here's how that differs from Europe, for instance.
Europe is generally flat, except that it has the mountains right through the middle of their continent. But the difference between the Swiss Alps and, say, the Rockies is that the Rockies extend from north to south. The Alps extend from east to west. So that blocks, remember the mountains are basically a wall. So you have a wall lined up from east to west across Europe. So when tropical air flows northward from Africa, it gets blocked. Similarly, when it comes to the south from the Arctic, it gets blocked. So it's difficult to make those two air masses interact simply because of their topography.
These geographic differences, argues Mike Tenora, make weather in the middle of the United States far more difficult and interesting to predict. It also makes predicting corn yields much more difficult. But farmers are going into the fields this spring feeling much better about the price of corn than they did, say, a couple months ago. Todd Gleason has more on the reasons why things have gone from dire to acceptable.
When the corn planters roll in force across the Midwest this spring, their owners will be far more optimistic than just a few months ago. Late in December, the market for corn looked to be truly tanking. However, demand for the grain has been strong, and it looks to stay strong enough to use up the better part of a big crop that was harvested last fall. Strong demand has caused USDA to lower the projected number of leftover bushels. It's down for 5 months running, notes University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Continues a multi-month process of lowering that projected year-ending stocks down to a very reasonable level now, not nearly as burdensome as what we thought it would be last fall.
Compared to usage projections made in November, current projections are 100 million bushels larger for corn used for ethanol production, 350 million bushels larger for exports, and 100 million bushels larger in the feed and residual category. It leaves about 1.35 billion bushels in the bin. That's called the carryout, or the ending stocks figure, and impacts how much corn USDA will project to be left in the bin 18 months from now, too.
And I would guess that they're going to project only a modest buildup in corn inventories next year. So that suggests corn prices next year could challenge what we saw this year, something in the low to mid $4 range. The market currently is above that, I think, as it's probably factoring in some production risk here with the late spring we're experiencing. But again, I would not expect to see a forecast of sharply lower corn prices for the next marketing year.
Well, the whole thing is a moving target, but right now it appears to be pointing to a bit higher season's average cash corn price for this year and one next year that could be about the same. Both those figures are higher than would have been projected late last fall. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Be sure you tune in tomorrow for the Saturday Horse Show. This week, I spoke with students about an interesting learning opportunity they get to have, dealing with foals. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.